we're rolling officially. So just as like a follow-up to last week, Josh and Redding, we've been corresponding back and forth a little bit. In fact, he started his own podcast since last week. So when we recorded last week, he had no podcast. Now on Anchor, he has had a podcast for a few days. So it's been kind of interesting. But he sent me...
You guys are podcast pals now.
You can send one-minute messages to people, to other Anchor channels. And so he sent me this reply to our other... When I kind of challenged him to respond if he was really listening. So...
If we can't figure out why.
Yeah. Why would anyone care about what we say?
Josh again. So let me start off by quickly saying this. I unfortunately had an internet issue and could not post earlier. That said, from now on, if you don't mind, I am going to put all my replies to you guys as personal, like, podcasts on my own Anchor channel, because unfortunately, when you actually send messages to people, they're only about a minute long, and sometimes I have a lot more to say than what I can fit in a minute's time. So, that said, I don't mind that you guys didn't trust me at first. After all, this is the internet. It's very difficult to find genuine people that actually care about what others have to say. Other than that, thank you so much for actually including my message. I was kind of concerned and almost shy in a way about it. So, keep doing what you do, and I can't wait for the next one. Take care, be safe, see ya.
Yeah, so then I responded back to him and just said, hey, thanks for your message. And he sent me a couple other messages. But he actually had...
Hey, Philip, it's Josh.
Whoops. We're experiencing technical difficulties.
That was just the next message, I think. So he started a podcast on his Anchor channel called Momentarily Thinking. And so he did like a nine-minute reply to our podcast about our business is amoral. So just like, I guess, a shout-out to his podcast. Check it out if you want to hear what he has to say about it. But I looked today, and he's deleted all his episodes, and it says his phone broke, and so he canceled his podcast. But I don't know why he got rid of the episodes.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But he was recording. He was posting two or three things a day. So, in my opinion, that's a rookie mistake. Too many things too quickly, you get burnt out. You know what I mean? We do it once a week.
That's right.
And I look forward to it, you know, because you don't overdo it. Because I've made that mistake with a lot of things. I get overzealous, and I overdo something, and then I get burnt out. So,
I have the opposite problem. I'm so lazy that I don't do things that I commit to.
He actually was going to have us reply to him, and he had a question for us, but now his podcast is down, so I don't think we necessarily need to reply to his question. It was similar to what we had. He basically was just asking if, you know, if businesses should use, how far should they go to protect their companies, even with outside of the law, should they break laws and... You know, which I think is a pretty easy to answer. I mean, I don't think any of us think companies should be illegal and what they do to protect their company. But it was pretty close to what we were already talking about anyways, I think. So anyways, I have the topic today.
Very cool. Thanks, Josh. Yeah, Don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
I love your name, by the way.
Yeah. So today I'm worried. So there's a couple things different about this. I changed the audio setup, so hopefully we have better audio of all of us. I noticed some people were kind of quiet, so hopefully this is better. And I actually did a little preparation on the topic.
What?
But I'm worried that I'm like...
That's against the rules, dude.
I know. I'm worried that I'm overly underprepared.
Huh. Yeah. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. It's something I wrote down. I thought that was pretty clever, so I wrote it down. Because usually we don't have any preparation. Mm-hmm. We just have a topic and we just start talking. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm underprepared, but I'm actually a little prepared. But enough to like be underprepared.
So, dude, can I use that for my next sacrament?
Overly underprepared.
That's
overly underprepared.
That's a great intro right there.
No, but have you guys ever heard of a thing called Parkinson's law? It's not related to
Parkinson's
the disease.
It's not related to the disease.
Parkinson's. I'm familiar with that. What is it?
It's any task will inflate until all of the available time is spent. So there is a guy, Cyril Parkinson, who was a British naval historian, and he spent a large amount of his time. In the British Civil Service, and he noticed as a staff officer during World War II that the numerous inefficiencies caused by a large bureaucracy, so he noticed these inefficiencies, and he noticed the British Colonel Office increased year after year, even though the British Empire was in decline. So he wrote a satirical article for The Economist in 1955, He discussed how organizations had uncontrolled growth due to their self-serving nature. So each department creates work for another. After all, an official wants to multiply subordinates, not rivals. So the punchline of a Schumer essay was, work expands to fill the time available for its completion. So that's another way of just saying any task will inflate until all of the available time is spent.
The beast grows to the size of its cage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of a colloquialism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And right. So there's this, Lewis Chu wrote an article for Medium.com about this law. And it's called Parkinson's Law, Why Constraints Are the Best Thing you Can Work With. So without constraints, so here's some examples he gives, like spending too much money. So he suggests save half of what's left from your bills. You'll still be happy without spending the same amount on luxuries. You're forced to prioritize what truly makes you happy instead of spending frivolously. Buying too many clothes, make sure everything can fit into your wardrobe. If one new item comes in, another has to go out. Eating too much, having smaller portions, or use smaller containers. You become more aware of your progress when you end up eating 10 mini packs of chips as opposed to a family pack. So, I had a couple things I want to discuss with this in mind, right? So basically, things will kind of grow to mm-hmm. meet this. So mm-hmm. I have two things. We can go either two ways with this. The question is, how does this apply to saving money / paying off debt? Or we could talk about the value of constraints in life.
I say we talk about everything.
Everything.
So no, in regard to...
With infinite time.
Our
discussion will expand to fill the time that we have.
That's true.
Exactly. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Well, let's just blow off work for the rest of the day.
All right. Well, that's what I do anyway. But with regards to the finances, you know, my income has increased, you know, over my career, right? Mm-hmm. It's increased exponentially. That would be nice, though. You know, many fold, right?
Yeah.
4 or 5 times what I started out with 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And every time, I always spend everything that I make, right?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes more, right? So that's why we've talked about this before, that you will always spend what you make. What makes you feel wealthy is bonuses, stock options mm-hmm. that you actually exercise, those types of things. So yeah, I totally agree with that in regards to finances. You're gonna spend whatever you make unless you have very strict rules about it.
Constraints, right?
Yes, constraints. If you wanna be all high and mighty about your linguistic, you know.
Example of linguistics, you know.
Yes.
Because that's something I thought about as I was reading this law. Is like I thought, dang, I feel like similarly, you know. I have a budget, and it's obviously I always find a way to meet. I pay my mortgage every month. I make minimum payments on things like student loans, and you know I have some consumer debt. I make these payments, right? I'm able to find a way, you know, to make it meet. I don't like. Personally, I don't ever miss a bill, right? But if I ever get extra money, like sometimes I do side work and I get some extra money that, you know, isn't part of my monthly salary, it's not like I pay off more debt or save more money. You know what I'm saying? It's like my life doesn't necessarily feel like, oh, I had such a better month. I could do so many extra things, you know? Mm-hmm. But somehow the money's gone. You know what I mean? So somehow I found a way to like find a use for every penny. You know what I mean? And so it's something I've been trying to like understand and get better at so that I can save or I can more rapidly pay off debt, you know, these kind of things.
Well, so on the opposite side, like when I got laid off from previous employer,
mm-hmm.
I had to go 4 months, you know, it was like a couple months of severance, but basically, you know, a couple months of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could still pay for stuff. And all that, and then, you know, coming here was a cut in pay because I got paid overtime at the last place, and you know, I'm still, you know, I haven't lost my house. I haven't lost.
You don't. You know? Did your quality like, of life feel any different?
No, it feels the same.
Even though you
oftentimes make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you know, but like on what you were talking about, you know, if somebody gave me a. A bonus, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would probably just spend it. Yeah. And I wouldn't even know that I spent it.
What?
It's like, I put it in the checkbook and I'll say, okay, yeah, this will go, and I can pay a little bit off on this thing and pay a little bit off on there. And then it's like, no, I didn't pay it off. Where did it go?
That's also what I thought of is I had a tax return a couple months ago because I filed pretty early, you know. But I had all these big plans, you know, like how much was going to go towards this and towards that. And somehow none of that happened, but the money's gone, you know. It's just a kind of a pattern I've seen every year. And this is my own personal failing, or, you know, maybe it's not just me. Like,
it's a very, very common thing.
But, you know, I mean, it's a little personal, but I feel like, you know, we're being open and we're discussing this, and I think this is a common thing people deal with, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. And
I have to admit, though, my tax returns all went to paying off debt.
That's great. That's what I meant to do with it, but that's not what happened.
Mine did too, but I didn't get any. So.
You know why? I didn't tell my wife about it.
It hasn't come yet. Turns out it was zero.
I miscalculated.
Yeah.
Well, so the other thing that's handy is, like, if you have multiple income sources, if you had a part-time thing you were doing,
mm-hmm.
just have it go into another account,
mm-hmm.
and then it just stays there, mm-hmm. right? And then, especially if it's at another bank, you know, it's like, oh, it's like a 3 or 4 day transfer if I want to get it into my checking account, so I'm going to have to come up with a different way to, you know, get my checking account balance up, because it's just too much work, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what would be handy is if your company, you know, because you give your company a deposit or direct deposit number. It'd be handy if they said, hey, you can give us two, and we'll put anything extra in. I guess
like salary versus bonuses.
Yeah, if you could do that, but I guess that I had that at the last company.
Some companies do.
Last company, I had two, and then I could say, well, put this much in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the rest in the other one. So it'd be handy if more companies did that, I guess.
It would also be handy, you know, if we had a 401k and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I gotta edit more stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so what about the rest of your life, though?
I mainly thought of government.
Actually, I was thinking too.
Yeah, because obviously that's something this guy says in this article is like, it's commonly used, you know, to talk about bureaucracies and things, mm-hmm. but it really can translate to many things. But you're saying government.
It's definitely the big example in the world as a whole is government.
Yeah.
Because government is going to do that no matter what. They're going to grow to account for the budget that they've been given, and then they're going to ask for more most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've set it up so in such a way that they... If they don't use their budget, then it gets cut the next day. They're not incentivized to save money.
They're not like rewarded for saving money.
And there's zero reward, and it doesn't hurt. Part of the problem of government in general is that they're not the ones that are paying for it. It's the community, you know, the citizens pay for the government. And so there is absolutely no incentive for them to save money. Because there's no stock that's going to go higher. There's no reward for them getting, you know, I would be very surprised if government employees get bonuses based on performance, you know, of saving money or anything like that.
Do you think they should? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Incentivize them to perform better.
Or just get rid of them.
There are a lot of them, yes, absolutely.
Because you incentivize them, but why do they need to be incentivized to do
a job that probably didn't need to be done in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Well, because
it's incentivized amount of a job is what you got to incentivize.
Well, you're going to get back. You're going to get back. Where you backlash from it? So you have.
You'll get removed from office.
Right, you have DeVos. DeVos is over the Department of Education. She's been like reducing the size of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, eventually, they won't need this huge, you know, expensive building that they're in, but they're still going to be using it because Congress isn't going to let them move anywhere else. But then you have all the people opposing that saying, no, we need more help.
More money for education.
And so we have humans and probably, I don't know if other creatures like this, but we have infinite desires and finite resources, right?
So if the finite resources increase, we say, okay, we can meet more of our desires now.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, oh, well, let's just put it in the bank. And then on top of that, the government has, in a sense, has, even though there's still finite resources, it's not their resources. And so they can pull it in. And they have a whole bunch of people who are voting for them who have infinite desires each.
Mm. Right.
And so they're trying to meet those.
But I think it's interesting that originally this concept was this law or whatever, this idea came up because of things like government. Mm-hmm. But how well it translates over to other things in our lives, like our personal lives, things that it's not a bureaucracy, you know what I mean? Like handling our own budgets, you know, we have every incentive. We don't have this artificial thing like the government where it's like, I better spend this or I'm not going to get it next year. If we don't spend the money, we have more money next year. You know what I mean? Because we didn't spend the money. You know what I mean? Or this next
year. Or our time.
Or the time. Yeah.
Right. So we go and say,
how come it translates over to these other aspects beyond just like a bureaucracy? You know what I mean?
Because we fill our time. We fill our life with stuff.
Yeah. You have
a couple, just do nothing.
You have a couple of hours before bedtime. You say, let's watch an episode of this. And then it's like, you watch five episodes.
What if you had like an extra storage, an extra closet in your house? You know, things are going to fill in that closet.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And even when you don't, some people fill it up.
So then if the answer, at least this guy, this article, he says constraints. In fact, let me read you like kind of one of a quote. The obstacle and the path becomes the path. Never forget within every obstacle is an opportunity to improve our condition. That's Ryan Holiday. So the obstacle and the path becomes the path. We guess
that's an interesting concept. That the obstacle becomes the path.
So every obstacle is an opportunity to improve our condition. So if we can have constraints given to us, right? Or we can give ourselves constraints, and that becomes an obstacle in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a new path. So if you say, okay, every month, okay, my basic bills use up 80% of my paycheck. I have 20% left over.
Which is really, really bad, by the way, if that's your situation.
Yeah, it would be bad, right? But let's say that's the case. Let's say you have 20% left over, and you say, I'm going to take 10% no matter what off the top and put it in savings and act like it doesn't even exist or whatever. And if you really hold to that versus just going and doing whatever you want, right? You might even find more satisfaction in what you do with that money because you'll be more thoughtful. But that self-imposed constraint becomes an obstacle for you, but you work with it. It becomes the path, right?
So here's an example of the government making the obstacle the path is – every time when they hit the debt ceiling, what do? They raise it. So they overcome that obstacle by just raising the debt ceiling, and then that's the path on. That is now how they overcome that obstacle every single time now.
Huh.
It's like, rather than reducing government.
Well, isn't that any different than people that they just have a bigger balance on the credit card every month because that's how they
until they hit a max though. Until they hit a max and the credit card companies no longer are willing to extend any more credit.
So then
there's actually a ceiling for them, for the individual and families, there's a ceiling. For our government, there's no ceiling. They just keep raising it. They just change the law and keep raising it.
Yeah, it's never gonna change.
Yeah.
Because the spenders get to just set that limit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus your credit card, they don't say So looks like you hit your limit and you say, well, how about we raise it? Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess I have no choice. That's true, because with an individual...
It's like, no, we're not going to give that to you because, you know, we have other ways of making money that are more profitable than letting you spend, you know, 24% interest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty profitable.
Still pretty profitable, but it's... you go through the short term, they can make more money on short term with smaller interest rate. Like if you only need it for a month, then they can loan it out again. They just keep doing that. And
well, and there's also the huge risk. You know, once you max out, once an individual gets to a certain point, they're going to file bankruptcy and the credit card company is not going to see any of it.
And that's why they have a lower interest rate, because they want the money back so they can loan it out again.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to just sit on it.
They want you to take it, so that's their incentive, is not to raise it so high that you This is too costly for fun.
Right.
So there's, if for individuals, if they max out their credit limit, that becomes an obstacle they can't avoid, right? So then they have to work around that. So it'd obviously be better to impose our obstacles upon ourselves, or constraints, I should say, before we meet those kind of points where we're forced into something.
But like, oftentimes, the only obstacles that work, just because of
human nature,
of our human nature, personality, and it's probably a little bit societal too, right? I have a feeling that other cultures handle it better than, I mean, the U.S. culture is definitely, you know, spend,
mm-hmm.
gluttony. So ideally, we would have an external force that sets that constraint, right? Whatever it is, in the credit card scenario, it's the credit card companies. They set the constraint that, nope, we're not going to give you any more credit. You've maxed out everything. You got to deal with what you got. In the government scenario, the legislatures don't have an external force. Well, theoretically they do, but the citizens don't enforce it. They could just vote out all those guys, but they never do, right? So ideally, there would be a separate government agency that sets the law for the debt ceiling. I don't know how that would work. I don't know all the logistics around it.
Yeah.
But that would be something that I would be very interested in.
That wouldn't work.
Probably because the legislature would just pass a law. Pass a law making it.
The citizens who make that law based on the representatives. And
yep.
They continue to voting representatives that continue to spend money. They get what they
yep.
look for. So on the credit cards, you got that, what is it, 2.5%? It's charged of your price, of your purchase, right? That the credit card gets to pull out when you purchase an item. They have to pay a fee.
Yeah, they pay a fee, yeah.
If everybody paid off their credit card loan within, you know, a few days, right, they're making a ton of money.
They're still making
money. That's why they want the money back.
Mm.
And so to compensate for that, they have to raise the interest rate because they could make money if it was zero, as long as you paid it off by the end of the month. They don't care. You know, they're perfectly happy with you paying it off by the end of the month. They make more money, though.
They just want you to use it.
Oh, what do you mean? Why do they need the money back? If they're making money, they didn't have nearly unlimited resources to loan money out.
Right.
They don't need my money back.
Well, no. Where are they going to get the money?
Well, your money is special money.
That costs less for them to get than it would be to loan it to me. So they're charging me 20%, so only getting the money for 5%, whatever it is.
Right.
They're still making 50%.
So 24. So what is 24% would be 2% interest, right, per month on your balance,
right?
If I go borrow $10,000, they get that much each month, right? 2% of
who
my
does?
The
credit,
bank,
oh, if
the
you,
credit card.
You are
if I go
consumer.
Borrow and I just pay minimum balance, right? Then I basically have that same amount every month. So there's 2% every month. Okay. If I borrow $10,000, they get more than 2% when I borrow it. And then if I paid it off this week, they can loan that money out to somebody else and get another 2%.
Yeah, but you're
and they can do
that. They only have $10,000. They have
no. Every dollar makes money for them.
Yeah, it
whether
does.
Whether they get it from another source or from me, right? Me paying them back. Me. They're making money off of me purchasing.
Yeah, but one doesn't exclude the other. I can still buy a $10,000 this month and $10,000 next month and
what's
not
that?
Pay off the first $10,000.
Right, but you're going to be paying per month.
Yeah, they're going to be making more money. The more they lend out, the more money they will
so
make.
So if I borrow $10,000 from them today, they get 2.5%. Okay, I give it back to them at the end of the day. They loan out that same $10,000 tomorrow. They get another 2.5% of that $10,000.
And what I'm
and
saying
they
is
do it every
not,
day,
you're
every
assuming
time,
that they're limited in their supply of
no,
money.
No, I'm not assuming anything. I'm assuming every dollar is important to them.
Hmm. And they're not unlimited.
It doesn't matter
right?
where they get it.
It's not unlimited.
If I give it back to them, they get another 2.5% every time they do that.
What is keeping me from buying that same $10,000 the next day? Not that I, it's,
if
it
you
does,
borrowed
it's
it?
Not contingent upon whether I paid the $10,000 off the first
no,
day.
No, if you pay off the $10,000 the first day,
No, he's saying not paying off.
Oh, if you don't pay it off?
And then just loaning him another $10,000.
So now I have the $10,000 that you earn 2.5%. I have this $10,000
right.
that you're earning.
But eventually...
So now I have $20,000 that's earning you 2%.
Right.
But eventually you're going to run out of...
You didn't get that extra
2%. No, I'm making a lot less because it's, you know, your interest... If you're a person who does that every month, pays it off every month, they give you super low interest because they're like, you know, I'm happy with you paying me back.
Because they want to entice you to carry the loan.
Not to carry it off. They don't want you to carry it. They make more money if the interest rate on your credit card is...
I understand that point, but you're assuming that they don't have the money to lend me for the next $10,000 I want to spend unless
well,
I pay
off. Eventually, you're going to hit a max.
I assume that
they want me to spend
as much and not pay back. I don't think they want you to do that.
They want me to spend every day as much as I can and not pay it back. That way they're earning money when I spend it and when I don't pay it off. In your scenario, they're only earning money when I spend it.
So if I borrow $10,000 and keep it for a month, if I keep the loan for a month, they made 2.5%. It's not 2% because it's if I have a 6% credit card.
Whatever it is.
Right, 6% divided by 12.
Okay, but it's still something.
Right?
It's not
a
zero.
Teeny bit, right?
It's not zero.
Right, but it's a lot closer to zero than it is to 2.5%.
I never thought of that.
But they want you to
make those transactions. In fact, that
the more transactions that you make, the more money they make.
That actually
even
affects
even when you pay them out.
And the more balance I carry, the more money they make.
Yes.
But if you max out your
No, because they're card, limited on how much they can charge on their interest.
Like if you're never maxing out and you're able to continue to make purchases.
They can't charge you 100% on interest.
More often because you have
more
credit line, right?
They'd make more money.
But once you get to that max,
every transaction
you're just paying
that you want,
now we have two different conversations.
And then I'm not going to pay it off.
Right.
Where are they going to make more money? You spend $10,000 every month, you pay it off. Every month you spend $10,000. Every month I spend $10,000. I don't pay it off. Who's paying more money, you or me, to the credit card company?
They're making more money off of him.
Yeah, because 2% every purchase.
That's what I just said. I do exactly the same purchases.
How
I borrow $10,000.
You're eventually going to hit a limit, though. You can't just keep borrowing $10,000.
Well, yeah, I'll hit a limit. Yeah eventually I'll hit a limit.
Yeah.
Right? But then I can pay off $10,000.
Right.
Right? But, and then I can pay another $10,000.
Right, but I'm...
When and I then give, another $10,000.
When I pay
and
back...
$10,000.
If I pay back that $10,000, somebody else is going to borrow it.
Yeah, and you're assuming that they don't have the money. They have a limited supply.
No, they can have infinite supply. They would still rather have people pay it back right away because
I think
no,
it's
then
about
they wouldn't charge interest.
I think it's
I'd say take the money,
behavior.
Just give it.
No, they have to charge
tomorrow.
Interest because you may not pay it back in a month, so they want to get something out of it. And then if you do that enough times, and they go, okay, we're going to charge you 24% because we still want that 2%.
They
so
double
dip. Are you saying that the higher interest rates are trying to encourage you to pay it off?
You're having to pay for the fact that you are going to keep a balance.
And basically, like
they're perfectly
the
happy with you paying them off every minute.
I think it's a lot
borrow it and pay it off, and 1 minute later, borrow it, pay it off. Borrow
as long as you're actually
for that $10,000, all you have to do is borrow it. Let's say it's 2.5%. So if you borrow it 1,000 times in a month, they've made more than the $1,000.
And what if I don't pay that money off? Do they make more money or less money? I do the exact same thing and I don't pay the money off.
They make less.
They make less if I
well,
don't pay it off.
If you continue to...
That's what I mean. I do the exact same thing. I spend $1,000 here, $1,000 there, just like you're going to do, but I don't give them $1,000 back.
Right.
I just let it roll.
But you're not going to be able to do that.
Well, I can do it for a long time, and then they have me in $10,000. And then the next $1,000, I have to pay them $1,000. And then the next $1,000, I take out, and I take out, and I give back.
Right.
They're still earning interest on the $9,000 that's sitting there.
Right, but they increase the interest rate to you so that they can compensate for the loss that they're making from not being able to loan it out immediately after you pay them back because you're not paying them back.
I would be skeptical that that's their calculus, that they're charging the interest to compensate for. I think they're trying to make money in any way they possibly
can.
They're going to try to fatten their bottom line with fees and interest.
They don't want you to pay it on time. They don't want you to pay it off.
They want
you to carry that balance. They want you to be late on it. As long as when they measure out the risk, it is in their favor. So that's why they check your credit score. You got a great credit score, they'll keep lending you money because they know that you'll pay it off, but they're going to earn money. They're going to earn interest off.
But did you know that if you don't use your credit cards, it actually hurts your credit score?
I've heard that before.
If you have zero balance on several credit cards.
And lots of credit limit, yeah. And a large credit limit. Of yep. all of a sudden just boom, taking all that money.
Yep.
But yeah. But
who knows what the actual formula is? That would be very interesting.
That would be really interesting
to see
yep.
what actually
to see the actual formulas.
Well, it's hard to say what their reasoning is behind interest rates, but I think that your math makes sense though, right? You're saying really what's going to make the most money is someone, the kind of person who's doing a lot of transactions and paying it off because they're more. But as someone, in your example, you say someone, you go all the way to the max, but then you start paying off a certain amount and remaining at the max. But actual human behavior, someone who's going to that point doesn't have liquid cash to just pay off another $10,000, then go spend another $10,000. You know, they're going to be sitting at maxed out balance or whatever, maxed out their credit limit, and then like maybe paying minimum payments.
I have $1,000 to spend, and so I spend it, and the next day I pay it back, I have that $1,000 to pay it back, right?
$1,000.
I have the $1,000.
But you paid back.
You get
2.5%.
You get what I'm saying? It's like a payday loan.
Yeah. But
the human behavior that leads to getting like basically to like
maxing out
a $20,000 credit limit is not the kind of person who has all this kind of cash to like play this game of like, I'm going to just pay $10,000 so I can go spend $10,000 tomorrow. You know what I mean? So I'm saying you're right. If someone did that, then they're going to, you know, but I'm just thinking like in general, that's not what people would do if they get to that point. You know
eventually the typical scenario, and I would say typical by 80-90% scenario, is that if they keep spending and they max it out, they're not going to be able to just pay off a chunk and then put another transaction.
Yeah, but the same limit is applied to anyone that pays it on a daily basis. They have, I guess, $20,000, whatever the limit is, to spend. They spend it on every transaction they make.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still spending the same amount. They're, credit card company still earning the $2,000.
But eventually those transactions will stop.
Yeah, exactly.
But what, his income hasn't stopped. Why would it stop?
The people that max out their credit cards, though, are usually in trouble.
Right?
Typically in trouble.
So
they don't have the ability to pay it down and then put more stuff on there.
Nor do they then when they're in, whether they have $20,000 of debt or $0 of debt. If they don't have money to spend $100 and to pay that off, when they're $20,000 in debt as opposed to zero, it doesn't change dependent on their debt circumstances. If they can't pay $100 to the credit card and then do a $100 transaction when they got $20,000 in debt, they're not going to do it when they have $0.
I disagree because I know plenty of people that just use the credit cards as a easy way to track all their finances and stuff like that, and they pay it off every month.
Right. So what keeps them from paying it off whether they have $20,000 in debt? They take that same money, whether $1,000, here's $1,000, now they're $19,000 in debt, and they spend another $1,000. Then they take that $1,000, they pay it off, they do the same thing every month. Why does it matter the balance that they're carrying?
Because that person is more likely to have a track record of more transactions because they're...
He's already spent $20,000, so there's transactions that the credit card company...
That maxed out their card has this history of a lot of transactions, then it'll just drop off.
Yep.
And they're going to be like... Okay,
I agree.
I can't put $10,000 on the card, but my monthly payment is $300, so I'll do that because that's the new obstacle, and I'm going to find a way to make that work. Unless they might not even pay it at all.
And then in your scenario, they don't pay anything because they think I'm not going to get in debt, so I'm not going to use any transaction at all. I'm only going to pay the $300, and I'm going to pay that off.
Well, they might.
In my scenario, they've spent $20,000, and now they're here, and they're going to say, "Well, I'm going to spend $300, and I'm going to pay off $300. I'm going to spend $300. I'm going to pay off just like I would have." If I decide to pay it off every month.
But you're probably not going to do as many transactions. Yeah, you'll have to be more rationalize those transactions.
I think once you get to that point, though,
once somebody gets to the max,
they don't have the idea. The behavior changes, I think, at that point. They all of a sudden start freaking out and say, okay, I've got to change my behavior and pay this down rather than just continue in the transactions and keep my cards maxed. I think it's all about behavioral science at this point.
Let's go to your example, though. So if you have the guy who says, every transaction I'm going to do on a credit card,
mm-hmm.
and I spend $10,000 a month
on credit cards. My limit is 2,000, right? Doesn't matter what my limit is.
True, good point.
Because I'm going to pay it off. So I get paid off.
You can't do that.
Because you pay off immediately.
Right, because I pay it immediately. Like, as soon as I make that purchase, I transfer it.
Which is kind of a dumb way to do
it. $10,000, I paid 2.5% on that for that month. Right?
You don't, but then
right.
the my limit does.
Right. My
yeah.
Yeah, well, you paid for it. You bought it.
Right, and then everyone.
Sales tax.
Theoretically,
yes. It's not a sales is.
Yeah, but everyone, whether they paid cash
right.
or whether they paid credit, paid for it.
Not the 2%.
Yes.
2.5? No. Well, yeah. They paid it, yeah, but the bank doesn't get it.
Only in gas do you have to pay
credit. The bank is. The bank is the only
do they
one.
Do that anymore? I guess only certain ones.
The bank does not get money for cash transactions.
Yes, but the person who paid the cash pays the 2.5%,
yes, you're
just
right.
like you.
Yes,
you're
exactly. Right. But the
that's splitting hairs. Anyway, saying, back to your
story. No, what I'm saying is the that 2.5% goes to the bank if I use the credit card. Right?
The credit card company.
Right.
They love those kind of people.
Right. So
because the risk is really low.
Mm-hmm.
But they also like the people who carry balances.
Sure.
They have higher risk.
But I think they
the same number of transactions.
I think they... No, it's not. It's not the same number of transactions.
Potentially,
I can borrow... I have a card. If I have a credit card, I can borrow $5,000 in this month. If I don't pay it off, that's all I can borrow. Okay? If I paid it off, I can borrow an infinite amount of money. If I pay it off before... As soon as I buy,
so I can give you $10,000,
and I get two.
I can give you $10,000.
They get 2.5% on an infinite number of dollars.
Okay, I can give you $10,000.
Right,
and then when you want to spend $5,000, you give me $5,000, then you spend $5,000. You want to spend another $5,000, you give me $5,000. I just give you that whole time. You're still $5,000 in debt, and I'm earning $5,000 on that debt. But you're still spending the exact same money. But I'm sitting here earning interest on $5,000 through this whole time. That makes
so,
me more money.
Except no, it does but if you take out the human
and
psychology.
If you take out the transaction cost, too.
No, he's right.
No,
even
exactly
with the transaction cost,
you purchase exactly the same thing, except you just have $10,000 more
yeah.
in debt.
He's
are you earning? Are you losing more money or not? It's a real simple question. If you have $10,000 in debt, and you have exactly the same transactions you did with $0 in debt. Are you losing money? Yes, you are. You're paying more interest. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right. In the scenario, if you leave out the behavioral science, you
we
would
do that.
They would make more money.
No,
we do that all the
I think
time.
If we have
you think
have
you think
mortgage,
with the
mathematically you're going to make more money.
Huh.
Well, right. I don't know. I just think that, like, if
I think the behavioral science changes the scenario.
And
let's say that the
all you gotta do is take $10,000 and say, "Okay, I'm gonna borrow $10,000." Okay.
Didn't
and
we already?
Never
we just
pay
already
off.
Talked about this. Let's not go
I think
over
we're going over.
Right?
I get two and a half percent.
Agree to disagree on that.
You get 2.5% per month for every month,
right? That's only. But he's saying if the same transactions happen,
it's not the same.
Because of the behavioral
not
science.
Not because of behavior.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's because you can't borrow any more money.
That's the point. I'm kind of in between
the
both of you.
He's saying that if you pay it off and then you borrow that again, it's the same number of transactions. That's an unlikely scenario.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
It's more transactions. If I pay it off immediately, I can do every transaction.
So go ahead and pay it off immediately in my scenario.
Huh?
Go ahead and pay it off immediately in my scenario.
But
just having to carry $10,000 on another credit card.
I think I have to side with math.
I do too, do
okay.
But it, when you're just talking about math, I side with math.
I don't.
But because of the behavior and the cultural norms, not cultural norms, that's the wrong, because of human behavior, that doesn't work. Because the scenario that you're describing, I don't know anybody that works like that deals.
Unlikely.
Yes, it's highly unlikely because
yeah.
I don't know anybody who deals who does that scenario, who maintains that balance and still makes the same number of transactions just borrowing
right
against
on,
it
right
after
on the
they,
edge of like
yeah, right on the edge of the max, or even if it's not on the edge of the max,
yeah,
if they said
true.
Okay, I want to only maintain a $10,000 balance and I
okay.
do those transactions.
So let's
yeah.
let's.
I think the scenario is just. Like a minuscule possibility.
Well, let's say in this scenario, you have $1,000 of discretionary income, and every month you spend that with a credit card, and every month you pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every month you do the same thing, except one
day, you get hit with a big, huge tax bill, $10,000. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have this credit card sitting around and you say, this is the only way I'm going to pay this off. So I pay off $10,000. Meanwhile, I still have this $1,000 discretionary income, and I'm still doing the exact same thing, in, mm-hmm. out, in, out, mm-hmm. in, out.
Yeah.
That $10,000 is being is interest is being earned on
you're
that
$10,000.
Right.
Right.
My behavior hasn't changed at all.
Less you're than 2.5% though.
Yeah, but you're having the same amount of transactions. So
the
in your
same
scenario,
exact transactions.
They're making the interest and the transaction
you're right.
fees. Yeah.
You're right. I agree with you.
And so that's what people do though. They buy a house, they spend the money here. Right? They keep spending. Right? They buy a car, they keep spending. It, mm-hmm. it doesn't change. Their debt keeps going up, and they keep spending. They do that. Everyone does that. Right? You don't buy a house and then say, "Well, I'm going to take all that money and I'm going to spend it on a credit card." No, you spend it on this debt. You raise this limit, and you continue to spend.
So you're talking about a different type of debt. You're talking about house debt.
I'm talking about any debt. Well, I don't think the person who has lots of credit debt, lots of credit card debt, says, "Well, I'm just not spending money." I think he continues to spend money and continues to get into trouble.
Okay,
he might
that
do it
may
on
be
a
true, but he's
going
he's likely to do it differently. Yeah, you're right. Possibly on a different credit card, or start using his checking account more.
Or until he comes under, he gets his spending under control and starts to pay off this credit
yes.
card.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, so and that's what I'm saying. The behavior,
but I think
is unlikely in your scenario.
I think the same person is already under control. And so instead of spending the $20,000, the person who's in control doesn't spend $1,000 for 20 months. He spends $500 every month because he's already in control of his expenses. So now I'm only getting 2.5 on $500 instead of 2.5 on $1,000.
Right.
And then whatever percentage, 20% a year on the $20,000.
Right. Think of it from the bank's perspective or the lender's.
The bank loans money.
Right. That's what they do. But there is a finite amount of money.
Yeah, and they haven't reached it yet because everyone makes money
right.
from on the consumer.
Right.
Right. And then the consumer realizes.
But every dollar, so just think of it from the dollar perspective. I have a dollar, I'm going to lend it out. Okay? So I lend it out, the person buys something for a dollar, it's really 97.5, I get 2.5 cents. Okay? The guy doesn't pay me back. I now get 2.5% if it's a 24% loan every month from that. Okay, so I get 2% from that. Okay, so now think about that same dollar as a lender. I say, I'm going to lend it to you. I get 2.5% today. You give me back the dollar. I say, okay, I'm going to lend it tomorrow. I get another 2.5. I get 2.5 every single day.
And I'm saying
and you're getting
both
it.
Scenarios.
Huh?
They love to do both.
Sure.
I know. They love both, yeah. But the one makes them more money.
Yeah, because like each dollar, you know.
As if they have limited resources.
No, every dollar is a dollar.
Yeah.
You got to think of it. You can say unlimited resource. That means they can make an infinite amount of money. But each dollar, you just have to, if you picture that dollar bill being lended.
It can only be in one place at one time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have limited resources, but they don't.
It doesn't, so, even
sure
if they have
do.
Infinite resources. Every dollar makes more money
if I'm
going to
spend a dollar,
you pay
I'm going to spend a dollar a day, right?
Huh?
If I'm going to spend a dollar a day,
right?
And I'm going to do that. And then on one day, I'm going to say, I'm going to spend $2. But I'm not going to pay this one back. But I'm still paying $1 a day.
That's 200%.
In what scenario
no,
is
don't
the bank
think.
Earning more money?
What's that?
In what scenario is the bank?
It makes
more
money because that $1 is earning a tiny bit every month.
Yeah.
But it's still
versus
more
the
money.
Other
dollar.
But the other dollar is making them
now,
a tiny bit every
resources,
single day.
If I had limited resources, so I'd say please spend $1,000 every day and pay me back every day and spend it again. If right. I had limited resources,
but they do.
They
yeah,
don't.
You're
they
say,
do too.
Yeah, you're saying if it came down to like I can't let anybody else borrow money because I'm out of money, that'd be a
Then
it wouldn't
like,
really matter.
What
you're
it
saying
comes
is true.
From people who
no.
make money off of lending more money to them.
Right.
Right.
But it's not infinite.
It's not infinite.
Okay.
It's vast.
It is limited.
Yes.
It is limited.
They are not at their limit.
Huh?
Yes.
They have never
you're
hit their limit.
Right. But
no,
if
the credit company said, I don't have any money.
Okay. So if nobody paid back their credit card and just paid the minimum, there would be,
yeah.
it would stop. There'd be, the cash would stop. The cash only
makes... They would get to that point.
Money only is useful if it's in motion. And if it's not in motion, if it's sitting in the bank...
It's stagnant.
Earning interest. It's just sitting there doing nothing.
It can earn interest unless it's doing something.
Right. That 2% is doing something because they don't have that $1,000 I have.
No credit card company has ever come back and said, you know, we don't have any more money.
You're right.
Right? Because they earn so much money
that's because
that anyone would invest
they,
in it.
That's because they encourage people to pay back before the month's out. If they didn't do that,
plus, they would
run out of money.
All of the people that are carrying a balance, they make money off of that.
Yep.
Right?
But they make more.
Yeah.
Just think of the dollar.
You're right.
Each dollar makes more money.
But the behavior...
Yes.
The behavior has to be exactly right in both of those scenarios.
Yeah. If it's in motion, if every dollar is used the way you want it to be used, then yes, you earn more money. My contention is that every dollar wouldn't be used in that motion. There'd only be a fixed amount that's used like that. And then there'd be this other that's not used at all.
And that's why the bank...
That's not used at all. It's just earning cash.
I submit that this has been the most boring episode yet.
Here's where we lose our one listener. Yep.
We just lost everybody.
Good.
Sorry, Josh. Sorry, Josh from Reading.
We got off into the weeds.
Yeah, we did.
Just call it. Don't worry about this one. That's what I'll call it. You can ignore this one.
Ignore this episode.
It was a good topic, though, Phil. I think, going back to the general constraints are... useful and necessary for all kinds of productivity in every sphere.
Yes. Well, interesting. Good times. We'll see you guys next time. Hopefully.